Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show and a midweek installment of Bullet Points. Now, we're at that point in the year when it's easy to feel overwhelmed. I'm recording this in November 2023, and I'm having a lot of conversations with friends and colleagues, and the whole energy is too much to do and not enough time to do it. And the word that keeps getting thrown around is overwhelm. But what if you're not overwhelmed? What if it's actually something else?
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings. From premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts, start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, before we get ahead of ourselves, this realization came to me when I was driving home from seeing a friend the other night. She's one of my closest, and so our conversations are pretty honest and raw. Like, you've known me well enough by now if you've been listening to the show for a while. You've heard a lot of my conversations. I'm sure you can imagine what my personal chats are like. I'm sure they're very, very honest, very real. And it was another conversation I've had with someone close to me where we've naturally come to the topic of having so much on our plates and not having enough time to do everything that we need to do. And the word that tends to get thrown around during these conversations is overwhelm. And it's a word I know I reach for when nothing is really coming together and I'm frustrated that I either have to give things less energy and attention than I want to or simply can't get around to them because my workload is too massive. I have never, ever used the word overwhelmed without feeling perhaps a little bit tearful, frustrated, and pained. It's a word I use at the point that exists just before breaking point. If I'm saying I'm overwhelmed out loud, it's a cry for help. And as someone who doesn't like to or finds it very difficult to ask for help, this is as loud as my cries for help get. But it's a sign I'm in significant distress, that I'm worried, that I'm struggling, that I'm fearful, and potentially that I'm on the brink of a big cry. And what really bugs me about this is I don't actually have an appropriate strategy for how to deal with being overwhelmed. What normally happens is it passes, but not because I've done anything to make it pass. And I'm taking a punt here and assuming that you're listening to this and you're perhaps experiencing or feeling the same. And it just means that what I feel like is that I can bumble from one period of feeling overwhelmed to another. It means that overwhelm is always in the offing. That wanting a bit of a cry or wanting someone to come in and help and take some of the burden off my shoulders is always on a repeat cycle that I don't really have any control over. So as I pondered this, as I drove home, overwhelm feels extremely emotional. I feel it in the pit of my stomach. It appears in that hot feeling on my chest and neck, and I don't care for it. And I also don't care for seeing it in my friends either. So a few things came into my head on that drive. One of them being that it seemed so odd that so many capable women I know are experiencing the same thing. Now, this isn't just a women-only thing, but it just so happens that a lot of the friends that I've been hanging out with recently have been my female friends. And so I am drawing my data from predominantly female conversations. And it's always people who are smart, accomplished, diligent, and entrepreneurial. So I had to ask myself, is it really overwhelm? And I do love an analogy, and I started thinking about computers. And computers do so much, and yet computers slow down and sometimes crash under the burden of all the tasks that we ask them to do. But we don't say, my computer's overwhelmed. We're far more likely to say that the computer's been overloaded. And we'll also be much more likely in that situation to do the kindest thing for the computer, which is to turn it off and turn it back on again, usually giving it a few minutes while we run out to grab a coffee or make a cup of tea, to give it a chance to reboot, cool down, calm down, and start again. But that's not a solution that we always are able to or can afford ourselves. And it made me think, if overwhelm is emotional, then overload is much more of a cognitive issue. Overwhelm is stressful because it's an emotional reaction to your to-do list. You know, just by looking at it, that it's too much and it immediately triggers feelings of inadequacy. You don't know where to begin. You are beyond the point of being able to prioritize, to be able to look at the to-do list with any kind of pragmatic or practical approach, and it's upsetting. Overload, on the other hand, is having too much to do and just too little time to do it. And perhaps for me, what makes the distinction is where there's an emotional perception of not being able to do everything with overwhelm. Overload is when you know exactly what you need to do. You know exactly how you need to do it. You know exactly how long you need to do it. And the component parts that mean that the job can be done well, yet you simply cannot give the task that time. This is why we come back to computers, because sometimes computers can do everything really well, very quickly, without buffering, without delay, and we take it for granted, much as we do with ourselves. Until something goes wrong with the connection, a hard drive is getting full, and the tasks that the machine can usually do simply take more time, and therefore it all becomes very frustrating. Because we're used to it working well, so when it doesn't work well, we don't get it. We get frustrated, we don't always want to reboot things. We sometimes want to give them a bit of a bash. I know if I hit the back of the screen, maybe it'll work faster. And obviously that doesn't work that way. Now, clearly, these two ideas of being overwhelmed and overloaded aren't dissimilar. And it occurred to me that there must be an intersection where the two meet. And I suspect that if you're feeling overwhelmed, you've probably been overloaded for a while. You've known in a very practical sense that your to-do list requires more than you're able to give it, but you've been pushing through, hopefully, thinking that at some point the workload will yield and there will be some respite. But as one task is completed, another one, often a bigger one, might take its place. I know that a big thing for me this year has been trying to think bigger, and therefore what I am usually capable of doing, I have wanted to be able to do more. I have wanted to look at other opportunities. I have wanted to take on more work or try my hand at bigger projects. And that's why I think I've found myself in this place quite a lot, especially recently, of just kind of like, oh, ooh. And there's another thing I've noticed from our conversations, the conversations I've been having with friends over these last few months, is that while we can talk about delegating or maybe getting some help, whether that's in the short or long term, what we're all realizing is that what we really need is a clone, another version of ourselves who can share the burden of the work that when we're not feeling overwhelmed or overloaded, we can accomplish with ease. That's the thing. Delegating, training somebody up, all of those things take so much time and effort. And what so many of us are saying is, I just need more hours in the day, or I need another one of me. And obviously none of those things are things that we can create or make happen. So we have to think outside of that. So overload, while not as emotional as overwhelm perhaps, is maddening, because we know how to complete whatever the tasks are that we have to complete. We just can't do it to the quality and or the standard that we know we're capable of and have probably done in the past. I think that's the thing. We have muscle memory of being able and being capable, but sometimes it's just too much and you know that you're just not going to be able to do it. And let's face it, that just adds to the feeling of crappiness. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if I ended this episode of Bullet Points with a definitive solution so you never have to feel this ickiness again? Well, mea culpa, I brought this to the table, but I don't have the answer. I'm so sorry, listeners, I really wish I did. Or at least I don't have an answer that I think most of us want to hear, which is the answer to how can I not feel overwhelmed or overloaded and just get everything done that I need to do, which is not the answer. Because the answer, unfortunately, is annoying and obvious, which is to take on less and to say no to any more demands, to be open, whether it's in the workplace, at home, or wherever it is that these demands are put on you, and to be able to articulate very pragmatically, very plainly, that you're at capacity and taking on more will result in a reduction in productivity and potentially quality of your output. And I know it's annoying, because even as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, I would struggle to do that because I don't want to admit defeat. I feel as though I'm admitting to a failing. And I've worked in many roles in the past where I've been so terrified of saying no, or saying, I just simply cannot take that on, because I daren't give the impression to an employer that I'm I can't do those things because I worry that what it will say silently, wordlessly, is that I'm failing or underperforming at my job, and that that will, I don't know, hit me in the face down the line where when I go for an appraisal and we come for a salary review or any of those things. I want to always look as though, no, absolutely fine, smile on my face, no, that's absolutely great, no problem, I'll get that to you tomorrow. I've done that in the past, and it's not entirely healthy. And I think it's a way of working that many of us might need to unlearn. Saying no isn't a failure or isn't a sign that you're underperforming. It's just really wise. Let's take it back to the computers, because I think that's a good place to take it back to. When you open another tab on your browser or you start up another application, the computer doesn't say, hang on, are you sure? I'm already using up a lot of RAM. I think that's a computery thing that slows things down. I'm already using up a lot of RAM, and that's going to slow things down significantly. It doesn't give you a warning. It doesn't say, hey, maybe close something down. Maybe are you sure? Maybe take a break. It just stops functioning. You will try to do something and you will get the rainbow spinning wheel of death. You will hear the fan start up at the back of the computer because everything's working at capacity and it's really started to heat up and you're worried that the computer's going to go bang. Or there's a frozen screen and nothing happens. So in the era of AI and artificial intelligence, be smarter than a computer. Make the right noises when you're fielding too many demands, so you don't get to the point where you're the human equivalent of a frozen screen or a flashing alert saying, force quit, application not responding. Let's get better at saying, you know what? I know my strengths, and if I take that on, everything else will suffer. So either shelve it for a later date, delegate some current tasks, or just say no. And you can say, listen, when I'm not overloaded, I am the best person for that job. But I just have too much on at the moment to be able to give it what it needs. So sorry, no, or can we postpone that? I think that's the only way to get out of this cycle of being overloaded for a significant amount of time and then getting to the point of overwhelm. So you know what I'm going to ask. Let's discuss this in the Facebook group. Come on, the link to join is in the show notes. All you have to do is go to Facebook and type in The Emma Gunn Show, and let's have a chat about what it feels like to be overwhelmed, overloaded, and any strategies that you might have for being able to communicate those feelings so that you don't feel as though what you're actually saying is, help, I'm underperforming or I can't do my job. Somebody listening to this must have some excellent strategies for how to communicate this, whether it's in the workplace or at home. So please do share them in the Facebook group. You can also DM me on Instagram and Twitter, where I'm at Emma Gunns. And you can also email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. And if you enjoy this episode, if you think that it was useful, please share the link on social media so that your followers, the people that you're connected to, can also see it. Whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, it would be great to know if this has been helpful for you, and therefore if you would like to pass it on to others who might find it helpful too. So I am leaving you with this episode, hoping that if you are feeling any of those things, that you are able to feel less overwhelmed, feel less overloaded, and that you finish the year feeling much more buoyant, because that's what I hope for everyone who's listening. So thank you so much for your time. I will see you on the next one.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.